Well, good morning, everyone. It's a privilege to be here in front of you and see all your faces again. It's been a while since I was up here. The last time, I think, was a year and a half ago, probably. A little bit nervous, but I trust that God will help, and hope that you can gather something from this Bible study. Last week, when I was reminded that I was supposed to have the Bible study this today, a topic came to my mind almost right away. And normally I'd have several topics kind of float in my head as soon as somebody mentions something. And well, when I was thinking about this topic, I was like, well, it's a very simple topic, and how can I develop it? How can I make something of it? I tried changing it to something else, and usually I can sort of change to a different topic, but this one kind of stuck, and no matter what I tried, I couldn't get away from it. So I started reading the Bible and studying it, and the more I read about it and studied it, the deeper and bigger it got. And I realized that, no, this is not something simple, and it's from first glance it might seem simple, but the deeper you dig and the more you read about it, the bigger it gets. This Bible study would probably just scratch the surface of it. You probably could have multiple studies on it and not get to the bottom of it. So hopefully we'll cover a little bit of it, and hopefully each one could take something from it. So what I'd like to talk about is the foundation of our life. What are we basing it on, and what is it made of? A foundation is really important. How many of you here built something that had a concrete foundation? Can I have a raise of hands? All right, so a decent amount of you. I had the privilege in Ukraine help build a church with my family. There, almost all the buildings are out of brick or concrete or a special type of block. All of them need a good foundation. And I remember how my dad and a few brothers from church were stressing out about the foundation at the church, that they're making sure, calculating things, and that it would be strong enough to support the building on top of it. And I remember the late nights we were there, getting everything ready, getting the concrete, the barriers for the concrete, so that it stays in place when they were pouring the concrete, and making sure that it's all clean inside with rebar positioned right. And at that time I was 12 years old, 11, 12, and so it was really boring for me because I had to be there all the time, and I was like, why can't we just put the boards up and just pour the concrete and be over? But as I got older and I looked back and have more life experience, the small steps that those brothers took in ensuring that foundation was all properly done determined the outcome over the years of how long this building will stand. There was another building built about the same time that our church was being built. And they didn't give that much attention to their foundation, and they didn't even finish building it, and the building cracked. For life, it's a little bit different. Yes, we don't have a physical foundation that you pour in everything, but it's more spiritually But you can still see the effects of your foundation in your life. What type of foundation you have, what's it made of? I did a Google search for the definition of a foundation of our life, and this is what came up. The foundation of our lives could consist of ideas, a plan, a set of rules, or inspiration received from the life of a person we admire. Because we are the builders of our lives, we need to be sure our foundation is chosen wisely and that it motivates and directs us. And so, the first part is probably more in line with the Bible. The second part is a little bit more, I would say, worldly-centered, where we are the builders of our lives. We need to be sure our foundation is chosen wisely. Whereas the second part of this second sentence here, I would agree with too. Whereas we need to be sure our foundation is chosen wisely and that it motivates and directs us. In the Bible, we read in Luke 6, chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. And this is the parable where Jesus talked about the wise man and the foolish man, where they built their house on different substances. And this is a little bit of a background here. When Jesus spoke this parable, it was after the he shared the Beatitudes there and was teaching the people, and there's a lot of teaching there. And this was a time where, if I'm correct, this was the later part of his ministry where he shared this. And he already had a large, can I say, he was well known in Israel, and there was a fairly large following of him, after him. And he was a little bit fed up already with how they would say, be following him, and they would only follow him for the benefits. There wasn't really any real substance or change in their personal life. They liked what they heard, and it felt good, and they wanted to be by him. And I think a lot of times we fall into the same trap as we want to be in those places or by those people that make us feel good. We avoid areas and people that make us uncomfortable. Now, if it's making us feel uncomfortable in a good way, where it will make us grow, I think it's good. But if it's in a dangerous way, then yeah, maybe we have to avoid that place. But here, we read that Jesus responds. So once he said all of these things, what he said there in the Beatitudes, what he shared, and all the teaching, he said this: "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the floods rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So here we read about a man, or Jesus used this example about this man that built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And he used a very physical example that we can all relate to. At that time in Israel, there was no wooden structures where you just needed just a footer and that's it. You could build your house on top of that. It was a lot different there at that time. And the houses that stood stronger were or stood firm were the houses with foundations. And there it was a lot different because people could relate to this example that he shared because everyone built their own house there. It was not like you hired somebody and you know, a builder would come in with all his equipment, with his crew, and build a house for you. Usually, a man built his own house. That was kind of the usual, unless he was rich enough that he could hire somebody. And so this was an example that everyone could relate to. And could understand it. And when I read it and read the words "dig deep," my mind right away went to the Twin Towers there, and the foundation that was built for them. Now, I'm not sure how many of you ever got interested and just looked it up, a few facts about the Twin Towers, but it was quite impressive how much work went into building the foundation. It was, I think it was 11 months that they spent just to build a foundation. So they spent almost as much time to get that foundation right as what they did for the top part of the building. They digged 70 feet deep down to hit the rock, bedrock, to anchor those buildings down so that they'll have a firm foundation. And it took him, so I think it was 11 months for the foundation and 13, 14 months for the upper buildings. So 70 feet down, and the towers were 110 stories, I think, up, which 10 times as high as it was underneath. But yet that part underneath enabled these buildings to stand for so long, and they would have continued to stand if other things didn't come in that brought them down. And what I want to say here is, how much attention do we put on our foundation? How much time do we spend thinking about it? Thinking about the small decisions we make in life, how they impact our life, our family. And I want to read in 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for they shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abideth which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And so question I have, and I kind of answered this. Thank you, Arthur. I kind of answered this question a little bit in what I said earlier. But why is the foundation of our life so important? What are some important factors of it? Can any of you give a few answers?
If you don't have a strong foundation, later on in life, sooner or later, it's going to crumble.
Okay.
It gives us stability.
Yes, stability.
Mm-hmm.
anyone else.
And sort of related to that stability, we're all influenced by things that come into our lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's healthy in many ways, but if we don't have a foundation, we're going to be all over the place. And if our life doesn't crumble, we'll have there's no absolutes that our decisions are founded on.
Mm-hmm. I would say how you perceive things, how you look at things, what deductions you make are often based on your foundation. Mm-hmm. Your foundation, how you take in everything else is colored by the glasses you wear, your foundation. I think that's so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of those answers are very good, and a lot of those I would have thought about as I thought about this this foundation. And looking at life, there are people that it seems like on the surface they have it all together. Good job, good family, and just everything looks good. But when you look throughout life, as life goes on, you start seeing things that, like, oh, wait, not everything's so good. Things are starting to come apart. And Mr. Reinfurt said there was that if you don't have a good foundation, life is, at first it might go well, but as it goes on, and family and everything, it will crumble. And that is very true. In my life, I've seen families, a lot of families that we would have been fairly well acquainted with before our family went to Ukraine there in 2010. Looking back at what they were then and what they are now, it's a very sad picture what you see right now. A lot of them are divorced, and it seemed like they had very good families back then. It made me ask the question, why? Why? What is going on? What can I do in my life differently that I don't have the same outcome? All right, you had a thought.
And I don't know if this is entirely accurate, but it seems to me perhaps that the buildings that look the best, people put all their energy into the facade, and possibly there may not be at least a very healthy foundation. Mm-hmm. It can almost be the case in people's lives where the people who look the best, it's just a front and it's not reality. But I'll take a building any day that's kind of ugly, but it has a good solid foundation, and I can trust in it when it's a storm outside.
Yeah, and that is something that I wanted to touch on, and getting there. I was going to jump ahead of myself a little bit there. When I was looking at all these situations around and trying to find answers, and it's kind of during this week that it was kind of coming to me and everything falling to place, that a lot of these cases whereas how do I look in front of other people, what do other people think about me, and yeah, maybe there was some a little bit of, based on the Bible and enough to make it look good. But when things got tough, when things started getting challenging, it just all started crumbling. And the families that did stay together and that are a good example right now, when you analyze their life, you might, like, yeah, everything was not pretty. You wouldn't, first look at the family, like, you wouldn't be able to say much about them. Like, there's not a lot of show or anything. But yet, those families endured all these years and are enduring right now. And when you don't have a strong foundation, you will drift with the opinions of this world. You'll drift off. There's no firm footing where to base your decisions off of. You'll kind of drift off to what you like, what seems the most pleasant to your flesh, which goes opposite of what the Bible wants us to do. Because our flesh, I think the Apostle Paul said, I die daily and crucify the flesh. I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but that's kind of what he gave the thought, that he's dying daily to his flesh, and that the world is enmity against God. Always. They never walk in hand. It's kind of, the picture here is that Jesus taking the devil's hand and walking down the road. Never. As soon as you start going down using the world's laws, you start becoming a servant of the devil. And you start stepping away from God. And here in the in Corinthians, where we read about, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort is it. Does anyone have any thoughts about what in verse 12 here, now if any man build upon this foundation of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, anyone have any thoughts of what that might mean, what these different materials stand for? I'm curious myself, and I did not look into it much, this particular verse, does anyone have any thoughts on that? Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, when I read that passage, the idea that comes to mind, I'm not sure if that's what it means or not, but the idea that comes to mind, well, it mentioned that these things are going to be passing through the fire, and then mentions precious stones and things like that, and then it's like wood and hay and stuff. So if you would pass hay through the fire, it's going to burn quickly. Wood is going to burn. Maybe a stone wouldn't burn, depending on the stone and everything, but I'm guessing a stone is more resistant to the fire. So I have always seen it like something at the end of your life, when you're in front of the throne of God, and then it's like, okay, let's see Jordan's life in the screen. And then it's like, maybe I saw it in a chick publications track, maybe, but Jordan in front of the screen, right? And then it's like, well, Jordan did good works. He helped the poor people. And then it shows the thoughts behind it. Well, if I give this to these people, people are going to see that I'm a nice person, and they're going to pick me up, and I'm going to become something important. I'm going to help a lot. I'm going to give a lot of money. So it's, okay, you did a good work. So it's like huge thing of all that Jordan did. And then it's like, okay, but what is it? Okay, it was not for God. It was for his own ego. Mm-hmm. So basically, it was made of hay. Pass it through the fire. Maybe there's something that God sees, and then it says that this person might be saved even through the fire, but they're going to suffer. Basically, so you enter the kingdom of heaven, and it's like, well, Jordan, he has a huge mansion for Jordan. And then it's like, he did all these things. And then it's like, okay, now once they tested it, they passed it through the fire, yeah, we're going to give him a little bit less because he was a Christian, but yeah, he had all these desires to ego. And mm-hmm. So it burns out. It becomes hay, and it just, all that you did, it was nothing. I mean, you still made it to heaven, but you're not going to get all this that you thought you were going to get.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right, and that's really important. You have a good point there. Anyone else?
I had studied into that some time back, and I found it a bit elusive, a little hard to grasp. So the first hint was, as I recall, the precious stone is referring to like emeralds and rubies and that kind of precious stone. In other words, not building stone. So then from that you kind of extrapolate and explain that it's kind of what the man was willing to sell to invest in building materials. So in other, how engaged was he in building a good house? Was he going and getting, trading his gold for good building material? Because he probably didn't build with gold. It don't quite make sense that you build with gold. And so the concept kind of was, what is he willing to give up to build a good, solid structure? The implication kind of was that these things mentioned isn't what the structure was built with, so it kind of took me by surprise. And if I sound kind of unsure of what point I'm trying to make, I am kind of unsure. It's actually not that easy to figure out. And the more you study it, the more it becomes kind of like, yeah, this is kind of complicated. But we don't build with precious stone is the first point. You don't build with precious stone. So that's the hint that it's referring to how much of your stuff you're willing to plow into your procurement.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to give a current illustration. Right now, Jen and Rhoda are going through some fire. And I talked to them on Friday and said that, you know, these valleys can make you better or bitter. And if you look at these gold, silver, and stone, precious gems, fire purifies them, make them more pure, makes them better. Mm-hmm. And these valleys that we go through can make us better. But we have to have our foundation in God if we're going to come out right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jesus talked about people giving or doing things for the praise of men, and he said they have their reward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he was saying that those things are going to be a negative on the judgment day, but there's no value. And a little bit along the lines of what Jordan said, you know, you can mm-hmm. do things for pride or ego.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. And... yeah, I think I thought a little bit about it. Like as I said, I didn't really, you know, study into that verse. But I think it could be something to do with along what Art was saying, like how invested, like what are you willing to put into it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's more because he would have. Apostle Paul would have used a metaphor here, as in that that how this picture that he painted here from verse 9, for we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which he has given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But that's let right. Every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.
Mm-hmm.
For no other foundation can no man lay than that what was that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it, yeah, along with what Art said there, that the quality of time maybe that we put in, because to build a good foundation,
it's
not a 5-minute job. And it's not a year-long job. Now, in a physical sense, you know, if we're building a building, well, then, yeah, you can measure it in time. But in life, in our life, you can't really measure a foundation by time. Because a good foundation is formed... when you know there's a good foundation is when the person passed away, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
When he endured the time, all the testing, and he came out faithful in the end...
Mm-hmm.
Then you can say he had a good foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But in life, it's hard to say, because first glance, everything can look fine. Or unless you live with this person and you know him in and out, then you can tell a lot more what he's made out of. And it's, So I think here that it's the time, like gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. I think it's a time that you put into this, into studying, into making yourself better. For no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And I think here's the key for our foundation. Which is Jesus Christ, which is God's word. In, I think it's in John. In the beginning was God, and or in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Somehow that way. And so the Bible is, it goes hand in hand with God. Reading the Bible and building our life foundation on the Bible will endure the time. Will endure, will help us weather a lot of different storms in life. When there in Luke, when he when Jesus used that parable about the wise man and the foolish man, it goes, Jesus was pointing deeper than just on a surface level. He is like a man which built in a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Dig deep. In Matthew, it just, I think he just says it as built a foundation on a rock. But in Luke, he has it here, it's a lot more vivid. Digged deep. He dug, he studied. It's not some lighthearted everyday decisions he made, but it was with a purpose. You just don't dig deep for no reason. There's a purpose behind it. And it's interesting, so as I was studying, I came across an interesting fact. And there has been cases in Israel. So in Israel, there's a lot of gullies. So there's hills and there's gullies where erosion had eroded away like huge ravines. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that there are times when it rains really hard. And what seems like a normal dry riverbed or a gully turns into a massive torrent. There on the flat sections of the land by these deep gullies, it's really level, and it's really nice land, and we came across that there was people that actually built their houses in these areas, and the writer went on to write that it could, you know, Jesus, since at that time people would have known about that, or at least the ones that thought about life and applied to build a house properly, they probably would have known about those cases. And the picture we get here is that, you know, a person that is just very shallow and doesn't have a whole lot of worth to him, he's just like, oh, this is a great area to build a house, and just builds a house without taking the time to think about, is this a good spot to build it? It's a sad case, but there's times where those houses were washed away when the rain came. And so Jesus used a very, very vivid example here, and a real life that people, like a tangible example that people could, that some people actually experienced, probably. With the amount of people there, there's probably a few people that maybe experienced something like this. And then, well, there's also a spiritual side of this. And when the floods rose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. We can look at life and the floods and the stream beat vehemently. We could look at those life situations that arise, like, you know what, the Sadler family is going through. That's a flood that can drown you. Or a tornado comes through and takes your house down. It's a challenge. How are you going to relate to it? What's your response going to be? If your foundation is not grounded in God and God's word, you're probably going to have anger, bitterness. You're going to be cursing God, and it's like, why does this have to happen? And everything that goes along with that. But if you're grounded in the word, and something happens, depending on how much you, I'm going to jump a little bit ahead of myself here, so I'm not going to go there. I'll jump back a little bit. Another question I have here is, I guess some good ways or habits in life to strengthen this foundation. And I already touched, I jumped ahead of myself again there a little bit, and I shared some things. But from the older men here, can you share some ways or habits in life that you felt really strengthened and gave a good foundation in your life that helped strengthen that foundation in your life? So a foundation being, God's word, and that trust on God, that God is everything. What are some of the things that you did in your life or formed habits that strengthened that?
Prayer life.
Okay, prayer life, yes.
Love, righteousness, and hate iniquity.
Yes, love, righteousness, and hate iniquity.
That would be the pursuit of truth, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Associate with people that love God with all their heart.
Mm-hmm. Associate yourself with people that love God, mm-hmm, with all their heart, yes.
Believing that the Bible is true, but then examining other things that people present as truth.
Through the Word of God.
Yeah, and then mm-hmm. saying, the phrase is kind of quaint, but paper will hold still for anything. Just because something is written doesn't make it factual. It's gedulti, I think that's the word. Fabia is gedulti. Paper is patient, but not everything you read is true. Mm-hmm. And you have to decide, if you hear something or you read something, that doesn't make it true.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to evaluate. Not everything you hear is going to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to really stop and say, well, just don't believe everything you hear. Examine, critique. Because I believe the Bible is true.
Mm-hmm.
And so I examine it from that angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I had in mind was memorizing the Bible, memorizing the scriptures. Because almost every life situation that happens, at least I found in my life, that happened in my life, there's always a scripture verse that
mm-hmm.
usually could reference to that situation. Sometimes there are situations where it's like, you can't put anything to it. Well, that's where maybe you just have to trust God that it just happened for your good. When you do build your life on Jesus Christ, no matter what happens, then we know it is for our good. And there's a Bible verse that says, I didn't have it written down, but everything that happens is for your good. And But we have to believe that God's word is truth, and that we can trust Jesus Christ. If you don't have that faith and that trust, then you can read the Bible all you want, but your foundations, you're not going to stand. You have to have that trust that Jesus Christ is the truth, and that you can base your life off of that. Without faith, you can be the best Bible scholar, but without faith, if you don't believe anything that's written, it's nothing. And so, some verses here that I want to read from the Bible. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Every good gift and every perfect... So this is James, for James chapter 1, verse 12. And that was, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And also in James, jumping the same chapter to verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither is a shadow of turning. And the reason why I included that is that when God promises something, he holds his promises. Where it says here in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, when he is tested, when the storms of life bear down on him, and he endures them, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him, hath promised. And when I always see that, when the Lord hath promised, when I read that in the Bible, anywhere in the Bible, God never goes back on his promises. If we endure to the end, God's promise is that he shall receive a crown of life. So, for when he has tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Another verse that I'd like to read. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt save both save thyself and them that hear thee. You know, these are verses that are giving us give us an assurance of how we can strengthen this foundation, and what some of the brothers shared here, the different things that they found to help strengthen this the foundation in their life. That it's all based in the Bible. So none of them shared anything that was not in the Bible. When we dig deep into the Bible and study it and apply it into our lives, no matter what comes up, we'll be able to weather it. In conclusion, in Timothy, with the time we live in right now, it says in the Bible what's going to happen. And we're seeing it in real life. It says here in Second Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 13. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the powers thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And it goes on here, now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. With persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. I think the key here is the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want to conclude here with this verse. No, it serves Paul's warning here that in the last days evil will abound. Evil will abound and increase. And we're seeing that right now with what's happening all around the world, with brutality being praised, almost the highest forms of government. What happened in Israel there in October 17th, I believe. And how many people, or is it October 7th? How the brutality that happened there, and yet people are, it's inspiring, it's great what they did and everything. And they're giving these reasons why it's justified and everything. And yeah, and the more, and when you try reasoning with these people, you can't reason with them. They don't want to hear it, and no matter how you try, you're the bad one. And mm-hmm. But we're warned here, we're warned, and. You know, at the end, Paul says to Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, let's dig deep into the scriptures. Let's study it. Let's memorize it. And hide it in our hearts. As what David said in Psalms. I believe it was in... where he says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not stumble. And so, brothers and sisters, let's hide God's word in our hearts, that when the storms of life arise, that our foundation will be strong enough to withstand them, and that we will not be carried with this world's lies. Because the devil, he's a master of deception. Master of deception. And some of the things we're seeing right now out of Gaza right now, a deception that the Palestinians use to trick people, is a perfect example of that. Now imagine someone that has it almost without a flaw. If you come in from a physical standpoint, you can't point out the falsehood. The only way you'll be able to see the falsehood is through the Bible. My encouragement, brothers and sisters, that let's trust God and build our foundation on Jesus Christ and on His Word. Blessings.